Welcome everyone, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we will have Balakanda presented by Her Grace Lalitangi Radha Mataji. So she will be making a presentation. It will be Harikatha on the Balakanda of the Srimad Valmiki Ramayana. Mataji, are you there on the call? Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll just wait for a minute and then Mataji will also go live, so we'll take the live stream.
Okay, Mataji.
Yeah, thank you.
Just now I saw the live.
Okay, can everyone switch off? Much, yeah. You just saw the live? Okay, she was trying live. And we can avoid video because it takes up a lot of space. I think she's having trouble. Stop the recording. Lalitangi Mataji, over to you. You can now start the narration of the Balakanda.
Oh my God, I cannot mute.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all Guru Sushil Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay, can we use the headset? Headset will be better. Is this okay? Is this audible?
If you wear headset, I think it will be better.
Okay. Take this. Okay, so let's is the YouTube live is okay? Are you able to see?
Yes, all good.
Okay. Welcome everyone for this Namaskar. I thank the organizers of Bhakti Sangha for giving me an opportunity. Thank you, Priti Vilasini Mataji, for sharing all your wisdom and knowledge and devotion. Without your help, this class wouldn't be possible. So, I'll start now with prayers. Om Ajnana Simirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Tasmai Gurave Namah.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Svajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamcha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitya Ananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Hare Krishna. Am I audible?
Mataji, can you be louder? Your voice is low. You're audible. Okay.
So how about it now? Now is it okay?
Yes, clear.
Okay. So offering prayers to Lord Rama, Mother Sita, Lakshmana and Hanuman. रामाय राम भद्राय रामचन्द्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः श्रीराम राम रामेति रमे रामे मनोरमे सहस्रनाम तत्तुल्यं राम नाम वरानने मनोजवं मार्गतुल्यवेगं जितेन्द्रियं बुद्धिमदाम्बरिष्टं वातात्मजं वानरयुधमुख्यं श्रीरामदूतं शिरसा नमामि असात्यं साधकस्वामिन् असात्यं तव किं वत रामदूतकृपा सिन्धो मत्कार्यं साधय प्रभो. So we are starting from Balakanda today, offering obeisances to Valmiki Rishi. So we'll start with his history. So everyone knows the history of Rishi Valmiki. So he, there was a hunter by the name Ratnakar, a very terrible hunter, and he was the enemy of animals, and the whole forest was terrified of him. And Narada Rishi happened to come by in that place, and Ratnakar wanted to rob him off. Of his things also. So Narada Rishi said that, I don't have anything. What I have is only these rags. Then he asked him, for all the things you do you know that you are acquiring sins because you are giving pain to someone for the sake of your living? And a great devotee like Narada Muni, with just a moment of his association, Ratnakar's heart is melting, and then he's ready to listen. And Narada Rishi revealed upon him that there is so much of sins for the family for whom he's killing. They're not going to take share of the sins. So then he repents and he asks, what am I to do now? Please tell me a way out. So he says that he gives a mantra. He's not able to say Rama, and all what he has meditated upon is the killing of animals. So Narada Rishi gives him the mantra Mara. So he says, you keep on telling this again and again. So he starts meditating and repeating the word, the holy name, Mara, 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 and for so many thousands of years, and he became such a glorious Rishi himself that he was so absorbed in the meditation, and an ant hill started forming and eating his flesh. But he was so absorbed in meditation and he didn't mind that. And after a long time, Narada Muni himself comes and carefully removes the ant hill, and then calls him, takes him up and gives him a new birth and a new name. He calls him Valmiki. So Valmiki basically means the ant hill. So then Valmiki is asking Narada, is there a person... Inquired from Narada, Valmiki inquired from Sri Narada, O best of all knowers of truth, please tell me who, present now on earth, is the reservoir of all opulences in full, who is the most accomplished, learned, powerful, noble-minded, truthful, and grateful, who possesses flawless character and remains engaged looking after the genuine welfare of all living entities. Who is there present that is without an equal, clever, the most beautiful, and is never subject to the influence of anger or malice, yet instill fear within the hearts of even the great demigods when enraged? Who has the prowess to give protection to everyone within the three worlds? To whom has the goddess of fortune bestowed all blessings? O great sage, please answer my inquiries fully. So Narada Muni is answering that such an illustrious king by the name of Rama has appeared in the royal dynasty of Ikshvaku as a son of Mother Dasharatha. And he says, beautifully he describes the glorious form of Lord Rama. Rama has mighty arms that extend down to his knees, and his throat is marked with three auspicious lines like those on a canticle. He has high and broad shoulders, a wide chest, a beautifully formed head, a graceful forehead, powerful jaws, and deeply embedded collarbones. His eyes are large. He is majestically medium tall in stature, and all his limbs are well formed and symmetrical. His bodily complexion is dark greenish blue and has a great luster. His intelligence is unfathomable. His manner is grave, and his speech is superb in tone and eloquence. So basically there are 16 auspicious qualities, and Lord Rama is full in them. Then Narada Muni briefly described to Valmiki the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So he concluded by telling that the same Lord Rama now rules over his subjects in a most righteous and exemplary manner. So after hearing this from his guru, Narada Muni, Valmiki Muni went to do his duties on the bank of River Tamasa. So when he happened to go there, it was a beautiful scene, and he saw a pair of cranes fully absorbed in union and singing in melodious jubilation. At that time, he saw that a hunter was taking his bow and arrow, and he shot an arrow, pierced the heart of the male cruncher bird, and it fell down, withering in pain. And we can imagine the plight of the female bird that was cast down from the heights of sensual pleasure to the depths of despair. So when Valmiki Muni saw this tragic scene, feelings of great compassion came to his heart. And he cursed the hunter by saying, "O killer of birds, as punishment for your heartless murder of an innocent creature engaged in gratifying his mate, may you never find peace of mind for endless years." So after doing this, Valmiki Muni felt, why did I do this? He felt shame of being victim to anger. And then he's telling to his disciple Bharadwaj, "From my sorrow came words of four lines, each containing eight syllables. From Shoka has come a wonderful shloka." Because without compassion, there is no possibility of poetic expression. And then he's still overwhelmed with wonder, what has happened, why this has happened, and things like that. And Brahma appeared before him. So Brahma said that, it is my desire that these incidents have happened. And the shloka that you said out will be the start of this great literature. Time has come for you to compose the history of Lord Ramachandra's life. So he says, "By my grace, you will do the narration of Ramayana, which will be faultless." So immediately, Valmiki clearly envisioned within his heart all the events of Lord Rama's appearance, and then he composed Ramayana in 24,000 verses. After completing this poem, he is wondering, whom can I teach it to? So at that time, Lava and Kusha comes to his ashram. They are in his ashram, and every day they come to pay obeisances to him. So when they came, then Valmiki Muni is thinking that who else is more qualified than Lava and Kusha themselves, who are none other than the sons of Lord Ramachandra. And Sita, Mother Sita, was banished to the forest. Lord Ramachandra was forced to banish her. So So he is starting this beautiful, wonderful history, epic called Ramayana, to Lava and Kusha. And Lava and Kusha are such beautiful young children, brahmanas, ascetics, and they tell it in a very, wonderful way. So they started traveling all around the world, and they started reciting this Ramayana everywhere they go. And in their due course, they came to Lord Rama himself, because they don't know that yet that Lord Rama is their father. So they came to this beautiful Ayodhya city, and the city is so beautiful, perfectly constructed with multi-storied palaces, adorned with exquisite gardens, and it resounds with the vibrations of, you know, musical instruments, and it is like much more than the abode of Indra. So a beautiful description of city Ayodhya. And then they start reciting, and in this beautiful city, this beautiful city was ruled by Maharaj Dasharatha. So Maharaj Dasharatha means he can take up simultaneously 10 warriors from 10 directions, and he can win over them. So that was his caliber. And everything was very fine, but then he had 350 queens and 3 principal queens, but he had no son. So one day he went to his ministers and rishis, and he said that I have decided to perform a horse sacrifice, and I wanted your permission for that. At that time, his minister, King Sumantra, takes him away and says that I wanted to recite to you something wonderful that I heard from the sage Sanat Kumara. So please hear this, because it predicts that in the future you will become the father of 4 glorious sons. So he started reciting that history. Dasaratha had a daughter, Shanta, and that Shanta was given in adoption to King Romapada. So she was Romapada's daughter, adopted daughter. She was originally Dasharatha's daughter. And once in the kingdom of Romapada, there was an extreme severe drought, and nobody had any solution for that. And when the king called all the brahmanas, and the brahmanas said that the only solution is to get a Naishtika Brahmachari's footstep in your kingdom. That's when the rain is going to come and drought is going to end. Who is that? The king asks, and the brahmanas reply that he is none other than the rishi called Rishyashringa. He is the son of Mrigi Rishi. This rishi is also known as Vibhundaka. So he is totally grown up in the forest, and he has not seen any other human being except his father. He doesn't even know that there is a female species that's existing. So when teaching him Vedas, his father would carefully avoid those portions which is describing the females. So then immediately the king said, okay, that's so good. So please, brahmanas, can you bring them here? The brahmana said, no way. I mean, we are fearing if we do that, Rishi Vibhundaka or Mrigi Rishi will curse us, so we can't do that. But we can tell you a plan by which you can bring him here. So they say, you send the court girls who are for dancing, like Apsaras, in the earthly kingdom, of course. So you send them in a boat, and let them go, and let them bring this Rishyashringa here. So the girls were dressed as rishis, and then they went in a boat, and that boat was completely decorated like an ashram. One, they were waiting for the opportunity, and once when Mrigi Rishi was away, Rishyashringa was there. So they went there, and then they introduced themselves as those who are performing austerities, and Rishyashringa was saying that I have never seen you in this place, but please come to my ashrama and please accept some fruit. And so Rishyashringa washed their feet, and gave them some fruits, and then they said, you know, you please come to us, come to our ashrama, and we want to reciprocate the same thing with you. So they gave them the sweets that are made in the country. So far, you know, he has only taken fruits and roots, and they said that these are sweets of fruits of different types. So they embraced him, and then, you know, they left because they were so worried what if the father would come. But then Rishyashringa was feeling weird, started feeling weird, and he couldn't take their thoughts away from his mind. So he started thinking about them more, and then the next day he went to the boat which was kept there, decorated like an ashrama. They welcomed him, and then they were engaging him, and slowly the boat moved and it came to the kingdom of Romapada. The moment the boat came there, Indra showered rain. So as soon as King Romapada knew the information that Rishyashringa is coming, he immediately went out, received him, and, you know, with proper respects, and gave his daughter in marriage to him, and asked him also two things. Please, you and your father, please don't curse us, because we had to bring you here in a duplicitous manner. Saying this, Sumantra said that, Sanat Kumara told me that this Rishyashringa will be performing the Yajna, Putra Kameshti Yajna, and then because of that, you will be blessed with four sons. So Maharaja Dashrata was very happy to hear this. Immediately he sent word and requested the Maharaja Romapada to send Rishyashringa and Shanta. And then they started the Yajna. First horse, Ashwamedha Yajna. And, you know, that itself is a huge process. I think it went on for a year. Then again Putra Kameshti Yajna for a long time. After, at the end of the Yajna, Yajna Purusha came and he got a charu, or the Yajna Phala, the sweet rice. Actually, it is mentioned that he was so huge, and the sweet rice was like, you know, the pot was like 50 people can be into it. So then he is telling that, you know, this is, you know, please give this to your queen, and you know that, you know, prasadam can't be wasted. So Dasharatha had to request that we are all human beings, you know, please reduce the size, because that is the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, you know, it is said that he reduced in size, and then he gave a small pot, and the pot was given to Kaushalya, Kaikeyi and Sumitra. 50% of the prasadam was given to Kaushalya, 25 to Kaikeyi, and the next 25 was divided into half and given to Sumitra. And very soon they conceived, and after new pregnancy, Lord Rama with his plenary portions, Bharata, Lakshmana and Shatrughna were born. Ramachandra Bhagavan ki jai, Sri Ramanami Mahotsav ki jai. So Lord Rama, as soon as they were born, it is said that Lakshmana wouldn't stop crying until the baby Lakshmana was put near baby Ram. Same thing with Bharata and Shatrughna. So they were all together like that. And not much of information about their pastimes, how we saw in Krishna's pastimes, you know, Vrindavan Leela till 10 years, so many pastimes. But not much is available, at least up to my knowledge, about the Balak, beautiful childhood pastimes of Lord Chandra. Then he grew to 12 years of age, and when Bharata was thinking about that, you know, it's time for him to get married. So at that time, Rishi Vishwamitra came in. So Vishwamitra came, and Dasharatha welcomed him duly, offered him a seat, and asked him, how can I serve you? So Vishwamitra Rishi said that, I was engaged in the performance of a great sacrifice, but it is often disturbed by two demons, Maricha and Subahu, and they drop unmentionable things on the Yajna and pollute it, so I am not able to complete the Yajna. So I wanted to come, I have come here to take your son Rama to my ashram to kill these terrible Rakshasas. So as soon as he hears this, Dasharatha faints, because not a moment he had spent without seeing Lord Ram. So then again after gaining back consciousness, he's telling to Vishwamitra, I am an old man. Without Rama, I cannot even bear to continue living. Please tell me who are these two Rakshasas and what is the extent of their prowess. So then Rishi Vishwamitra started telling about Tataka and Tataka's sons, Subahu and Maricha, and how powerful they are. So immediately after hearing this, Dasharatha is even more afraid and he fainted again. Then he regained his consciousness and said that, I can come. And you see Lord Rama, he's just a mere boy. You know, his beautiful face is surrounded by locks of black hair. And, he had never had a military training. How is he going to be awake in the night? How is he going to fight these terrible demons? Okay, you can take Rama, but at least let me come with him, with my army. Vishwamitra is getting ready. He's upset. His request has not been taken up. Immediately, Vashishta comes in and says that, don't do this. This is for your benefit. Nothing will happen to Lord Rama. And Vishwamitra Muni has a celestial weapon that he would give to Rama, with which he will teach him everything that is required, and Lord Rama will be able to easily kill Maricha and Subahu. Actually, Vishwamitra can kill them himself, but he is asking for your son's help so that to glorify your son. So after hearing this, Dasharatha is pacified and then summoned Lord Rama to the royal court. Whenever Rama is called, he doesn't come alone. Lakshman also comes with him. So both of them started walking. And as they started walking, the devatas shower flowers from the sky. So on the way, Vishwamitra teaches them two mantras, Bala and Atibala. And after receiving the mantras, Rama is asking Vishwamitra, they came to the end of the day and they spent the night in the banks of the confluence of Sarayu and Ganga. That was the place where Lord Shiva burnt Cupid, the lord of Kandarpa, into ashes, who tried to disturb his deep meditation. Next day, Vishwamitra and the two brothers crossed the Ganga. When they were in the midstream in Ganga, Rama could hear like a waterfall. So he's asking, what is this? Vishwamitra Muni said that it is a Sarayu is basically from Brahma Sarovar, a lake that Brahma created from his mind. So Sarayu flows here from that lake, and although we cannot see it flowing, we can hear the sound. So because it's a confluence of Ganga and Sarayu, so he says it's an auspicious place, and you offer your prayers and obeisances at this place. Then they continue. After that, they get down and they enter into a very terrible looking forest. So Rama is asking that this forest is invoking fear in the heart of anyone who sees this. What is this forest and why it is so? So then Vishwamitra is explaining that this place, previously, we know the story of how King Indra killed Vritrasura. Vritrasura was born Brahmana. But he was born to a Brahmin father and he was demon. So Indra had to kill Vritrasura, but still there was a Brahmahatya sin. So he washed his hands in this place. He gave, he put his sins in this place. And he also gave the blessing that it will be very, because this place, this part of the place accepted the sinful reactions of Indra for killing the Brahmana. He bestowed that this will be very opulent also. So there were two kingdoms, Malada and Karusha here. However, a Rakshasi, Bikkad Rakshasi named Tadaka came to inhabit here. So this is what Vishwamitra said. And then Tadaka's sons were Maricha and Subahu. And all the three are creating havoc here, not allowing the rishis to perform their sacrifices. So then Vishwamitra says that I want you to destroy the she demon today. So then Rama is humbly asking, "Oh great Rishi, if it is appropriate, please explain how this Rakshasi became so powerful." So then Vishwamitra is telling the history of Tataka. So there was a powerful Yaksha named Suketu, and he performed penance to Lord Brahma, asking for a boon of a male child, but Brahma gave him a daughter, and that daughter was very beautiful, and she was named Tataka, and she was given in marriage to Sunda. Agastya Muni, then because of Sunda's mischief, he cursed Sunda to die. So Tataka became so angry, and Tataka and her son Maricha went to devour Agastya Muni. Because of this action of her, Agastya Muni cursed her to become a Rakshasi. So Tataka became she was immediately transformed into a horrible looking man-eater, monster, demoness. And since Agastya Rishi performed his tapasya here, so she comes here again and again and disrupts. And what is Tataka's height? She wears a garland made of elephant skull. How many elephant skull? 1,000 skull of an elephant. We can imagine how big is the skull of the elephant. And 1,000 of those skulls make a garland that tops up to her waist. So that is her gigantic form. And so when they are talking like this, Rama has having another question. How is it possible? Is it not sinful to kill a woman? So immediately Vishwamitra points out two instances that how Indra formally killed Virochana's daughter when the Virochana's daughter wanted to finish the earth. Second, he says that how Bhrigumuni's wife was killed by Lord Vishnu himself when she had desired to slay Indra. So Vishwamitra Muni says that please be prepared and please execute this desire of mine to kill Tataka. And immediately, you know, Rama twanged his bow, and hearing that, Tataka appeared there. So as soon as the two boys saw her, I mean, she was so ferocious. And, you know, she started coming to them, trying to hurt them. Rama released a shower of arrows, and suddenly Tataka became invisible and rushed toward him. So like this, there was some fight going on for some time. And finally, Rama's single blazing arrow pierced Tataka's chest, causing her to fall to the ground dead, making a tumultuous sound. So as soon as Tataka was killed, the Gandharvas and Apsaras began to sing and dance in ecstasy, and great rishis praised the prowess of Lord Rama. And we can see a parallel here that how the first demoness that Krishna killed was also Putana. So the explanation given here is that the Asha, is the feminine form. So desire for sense gratification to enjoy separately from Krishna is the root cause of our material bondage, and both Lord Rama and Lord Krishna came to cut off that desire, that material attachment. So then after that, the next day when they were continuing to perform the sacrifice, 6 days Rama and Lakshmana didn't even eat, and they were guarding the Yajna arena. And then came Subahu and Maricha, because they were so mad that their mother was killed, and they started dropping all unmentionable things. And Rama and Lakshmana made a cover of arrows and stopped, and Subahu was killed on the spot. But Rama told to Lakshmana that I'm not going to kill Maricha. And Rama's arrow chased Maricha for 100 yojanas, and then he was cast into the middle of the ocean. So this is the omnipotent. This is called cognizant. We recently was reading about that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. All cognizant. When the Supreme Lord sees something, he knows the history of it, everything. So he knew that, you know, Maricha is required later. He has some service to do. So he was not killed. Then the rishis in the forest, they came before Rama and Lakshmana and Vishwamitra, praising them, and Vishwamitra asked them, do you want us to do anything else? So the rishis said that tomorrow we are about to depart to the kingdom of Mithila to take part in a grand sacrifice Janak Maharaja is about to perform, and he has a very famous bow. That bow it belongs to Lord Shiva, and that is now in the custody of Janak Maharaja. So the bow is being worshipped on the altar with flowers and sandalwood paste and many other auspicious articles. So we are planning to go and see that, and we are requesting that you along with the two brothers please accompany us. So they all travel together, and then they So meanwhile, why every night they would stop in one place, and Rama would ask Vishwamitra what is the history of that place, and Vishwamitra would say the story. So the first they reach the banks of the Sona River. At that time, Rama asked, can you please narrate the history of this place? And Vishwamitra recited the following story. There was a great rishi named Kusha who was born of Lord Brahma himself. Kusha's son was Kushanabha, and Kushanabha had begotten 100 beautiful Apsara girls. And when they were all playing, Vayu came and requested them that, you know, would you like to marry me? But they had no attraction for Vayu, and they said that they would never choose a husband themselves, and they want their father to choose. So immediately Vayu, who was angered, he entered into their bodies and disfigured them. They started becoming hunchbacks, and they started, you know, the bodies are transformed into ugly looking women. So when they came back to the father and they said the history of this, so Kushanabha was glad that they did not use their powers to curse him back. Now he was looking for a proper person to marry them, and then that was the son of a great rishi called Chuli. His name was Brahmadatta, and when he decided to marry each girl, the moment he married each girl, all the deformation in their body went away and they became beautiful again. So Kushanabha had 100 girls, but he had no son, so he performed the yajna, and later Gadi was born to him. Then Rishi Vishwamitra is telling that I am born to Gadi. So that is his history, he is telling. And the next morning, the party continued their journey, and they reached the bank of the Ganga. And so when Rama requested Vishwamitra to narrate the history of the river Ganga, so this is a very beautiful history that is explained in Bhagavatam also in two different places. So the following history, Vishwamitra says that the deity of the Himalayas is Himavan. He had two daughters, Ganga and Uma. So Brahma came and requested Himavan to give Ganga in adoption to him, because Ganga has purifying service to do in the universe. And then Uma, as she has always fixed her mind on Lord Shiva, Uma was given in marriage to Lord Shiva. So when Uma and Shiva was engaged in the union, so the whole world, we can see that it's made up of the union of Shiva and Shakti. So when they were in union, and no offspring came for a very long time. So at that time, the demigods went and prayed to Lord Shiva, please desist from this activities of yours. And please, because the universe is not too powerful to hold your son. Your Rathas is very, very powerful. So Shiva agrees to that, but he says that my vital fluid, the Rathas, has been unseated from my heart, so it has to be given somewhere. So the demigod suggests that please give it to earth, so that the earth can receive any burden. But this, the vital fluid of Lord Shiva is so powerful that while Shiva released his fluid, the entire surface of the earth began to be covered and it started to crack. So the demigods requested Agni and Vayu to do something, and they both went to consume the Rathas, and some of it was transformed into a white mountain and white reeds, and some of it was kept in was conserved with Agni. So then, like this, the earth was saved from the calamity. So Lord Uma was upset at this, and so she gave a curse that all the wives of the demigods would become barren and they would not be able to produce a child. Sometimes later, demigods were harassed by a demon, and they had a demon who can be killed only by a person who is a son of Lord Shiva. Now what to do? So we have the vital fluid of Lord Shiva with Agni. So the demigods advised Agni to place that in the womb of Ganga Devi. So when Ganga Devi received that, it was too, she had an agonizing pain and she couldn't tolerate that pain. And it is said that she cast it off at a certain place in Himalayas. So that again became a thick white weeds, and because of association with Ganga Devi, now that vital fluid was transformed into gold. So at the birth of a child, a beautiful child was born. At the birth of the child, the demigods brought 6 Kritikas to nurse him. So as soon as the baby saw the 6 Kritikas, he developed 6 heads to drink milk from them. And so he is none other than the powerful Skanda or Kartikeya. So he is named after the Kritika mothers who nursed him. And he was so powerful that just on the day after he was born, he started fighting for the Devas. He is the commander-in-chief of the Devas. And Lord Krishna says that, Senani Naam Aham Skanda. Of the commander-in-chiefs, I am Skanda. And he is called Skanda because he flew. The name Skanda was because somebody who flew means not flying, but who came down like a river. So this is the history of Kumara Sambhava that Vishwamitra narrated to Lord Rama. And then he narrated another story of King Sagara. So we all know this history also is from Bhagavatam. We read that. So Sagara had 2 wives but no sons. And when he did austerities, and he was benedicted by Bhrigu Muni that he will have 2 kinds of sons. One wife would be able to give birth to 60,000 sons, and the other wife will be able to give birth to 1 son. So they chose who among them will be giving birth to who, and this one son was named Asamanjas. So Asamanjas, and then the 60,000 sons was born, like how 100 brothers of Duryodhana were born. The lump of flesh was divided into 60, and it was kept in a test tube, and it was nursed by the nurses, and then 60,000 babies were born. But Asamanjas was so cruel that he would drop the baby down on the river and laugh while seeing them drown. So he was a big headache that the king had to exile him, but he was married and he had a son called Amshuman. So Maharaja Sagara wanted to do a Ashwamedha Yajna. So he sent a horse, and the thing is that the horse had to go and all the subservient to the emperor, or they need to fight. And like that way, after going everywhere, the horse comes back, and then the Ashwamedha Yajna, the horse is sacrificed, and then it's given a new life. But this horse got lost. So, I mean, King Indra appeared in the guise of Rakshasa and stole the horse. Then Maharaja Sagara ordered the 60,000 sons to search for the entire earth for the horse. They were not able to find it. They started digging the earth. And everything was, earth herself became disturbed, the demigods were being disturbed, but still they continue digging. It is said that 4 gigantic elephants support the entire weight of the earth upon their backs, and because due to exhaustion, they sometimes shake their heads for relief and it creates earthquake. Of course, TOVP now, we are putting all this into a beautiful chandelier exhibition, and very soon the world is going to get what Vedic cosmology is. So even the Sagara, the sons of Sagaras went beyond this elephants also, digging further down, and then they came upon Lord Kapila sitting in meditation, and there was a sacrificial horse that stood grazing peacefully near him. So immediately they started, they thought that Kapila Muni is what, you know, he took the horse, and they started going towards Kapila Muni, taking their digging implements to kill him. So Kapila just looked at them and uttered the mantra, and that's it, all the 60,000 of them became ashes. So after a long time, the sons had not returned. So he sent his Sagara, Maharaj Sagar sends Amshuman to find for them. So Amshuman goes, and again, you know, he follows the same path. He comes to the elephants. The elephants say, go further down. You will be able to, you'll get a clue. So when he comes down, he finds Kapila and the horses, and he offers obeisances to Kapila Muni. And then he was so sorry to see that his uncles, you know, were burned to ashes. So he wanted to immediately perform a pinda ceremony there, but there was no water there. So when he was thinking what to do, so immediately Garuda appeared there, and he said, do not grieve for your uncles. There is a plan behind that. They will be instrumental in bringing the holy waters of Ganga down to this universe, up to the Patala Loka of this universe. So he said, now take a sacrificial horse and return to your grandfather. Let him finish the Ashwamedha Yajna. So Ashwamedha Yajna was finished, and they know now that Ganga has to descend. But Maharaj Sagara couldn't, get it accomplished in his life. His son Dilipa, he also tried his best, but his life also passed away. And then Dilipa's son, Bhagiratha, he inherited the kingdom, and he, as soon as he knew this history, he went into deep meditation and austerities, and he wanted to, then he, you know, worshipped Lord Brahma, and he asked Brahma that please, we wanted to receive the water of Ganga. So, and also he asked that kindly benedict me to have a son. So Brahma says, I can send Mother Ganga here, but the earth will not be able to bear the weight of Ganga's descent. So you should request Lord Shiva to first absorb the impact of the falling waters. So Lord Shiva agreed to do that, and it is said that Ganga Devi looked at Lord Shiva with the expression that, expression of disgust. She displayed the expression of disgust, and Lord Shiva became insulted. Immediately he took Ganga Devi and locked her in her hair, matted hair. So now Ganga Devi stopped there. Then again Bhagiratha did the tapasya for 1 year, full year, unto Lord Shiva. And then finally Lord Shiva let her down. So when Ganga Devi fell down, and she was following the path that was caused by Bhagiratha, would drive the chariot, and Ganga Devi would follow. On the course, we know that, you know, Janu Muni's ashrama was flooded. So immediately the Muni drank up the whole of Ganga, and Bhagiratha, seeing what happened, so he goes and he performs penances, and you know, he pleases the Rishi and says, please, you know, release Ganga Devi, and she would be known as your daughter on your name. So Ganga Devi was also known as Janavi. So Janavi, then like that way Ganga reached this, and through this planet, she is going down to all the lower planetary systems. And finally, when she touches the ashes of the Sagara 60,000 sons, they all attain liberation. So such is the power of Ganga Devi, and you know how fortunate we are. We may be wondering that we are not close by her banks, where, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed beautiful pastimes. But then she is also called Manasi Ganga, because if we think about her, she is already there. And also I have heard that the water, when you water Tulasi, and the water that comes down, the extra water, is also equivalent of Ganga Devi. So every day when we take a bath, if we remember Ganga Devi 3 times, Ganga, Ganga Devi, Daya Karo, Ganga Devi, if you remember her, she is present there, and it's like taking the bath in the most purifying waters of river Ganga. And we can see how much we are indebted to these rishis. It's not a small amount of effort to bring such a, you know, purified water for all our sake. Okay, then they started walking again, and then they came. Now Ganga is again. Lord Brahma told to Bhagiratha that since you brought Ganga down, Ganga will also be known as Bhagirathi, your daughter. So then they started traveling the next day, and then Rama expressed his eagerness to cross the Ganga and continue the journey. So when they eventually came to a city of Vishala, so there he asked, what is the history of this place? So then Vishwamitra told the following story. The demons and the demigods, they are by nature inimical towards each other, and they started fighting. Then it's a long story, but under the advice of Lord Vishnu, they started attempted to churn the milk ocean with Mandara mountain as the rod and Vasuki as the rope. So they all went to lift the Mandara mountain, but with all their powers, they couldn't even lift, and they were so, you know, in fact, it is said that they were crushed by the weight of the Mandara mountain, and they started praying to Lord Vishnu. He came there with his 8 hands. This is the first incarnation in this pastime. You see, so beautiful pastime with so many incarnations of the Lord. So he has 8 hands, and he picks up the mountain, Mandara mountain, puts the Mandara mountain on the back of Garuda, and he himself sits on the top of the mountain with 8 or 16 hands, I'm not sure. So he, you know, wears a beautiful garland of flowers, and Garuda flies and takes the Mandara mountain exactly in the place where the churning of the milk ocean has to take place. And then the demigods and demons, they started churning. They were not able to churn much. No, but first when they started churning, because they are churning with not an ordinary rod, a celestial serpent Vasuki, Hala Hala Visha came. So immediately they all went to Lord Shiva, requesting him. And Lord Shiva took the poison and drank it. And Mother Parvati stopped the poison in his neck. And the neck became beautiful, bluish in color, and he is called Neelakanta. Then so many things. After the poison was gone, then again they started churning. So many things came out. And finally, Lord Vishnu came as Dhanvantri. So he came from the ocean carrying the pot of nectar. So he is none other than the inaugurator of the medical science, the Ayurveda. So again, great fight ensued between demigods and demons. And again, demigods went to the shelter of Lord Vishnu, and Vishnu now took the form of most enchanting Mohini Murti. So all the demons were, you know, attracted to her beauty, and taking advantage of their weakness, Mohini told them, you know, you are all great heroes, and you know, you would listen to me, but look at the demigods, they don't have patience. Let me give the thing first to them, and then the rest I will give you. So while she was giving, demon, Rahu, he dressed himself like a demigod and sat down in the line of the demigod, sitting beside the sun and the moon. So when the Supreme Cursed Personality of Godhead understood how Rahu was cheating, he immediately cut off demon's head. Rahu had already tasted the nectar, and therefore his head was severed, but he still remained alive. And we know that the astrologers now, according to Vedic astrology, they are saying that this whole earth planet is undergoing this problem because of the culmination of the planets like Rahu and Ketu. And pray to the Lord, chant the holy names of the Lord, which is the only solution for all the evil effects of Kali Yuga. Kali Kalmasha Nashanam. So then the demigods, you know, finished drinking the nectar, and they were able to defeat the demons, And because the demons were defeated, their mother Diti was not happy. So she started performing austerities to have a child who would be able to kill Indra. And Indra knew this. So Indra went and, you know, performed menial service to Diti. And, you know, was getting her, he was trying to please him. So one day, Diti was little careless in performing her vow. It is said that she kept her head in the place where she used to keep her feet and sleep. Indra took this opportunity to enter the womb and started cutting the fetus into 7 pieces and 7 pieces again. So they became 49 pieces and they were called Maruds. So Diti is praying to Indra, please stop doing that. I promise they will be, they will not be your enemies, but they will become Maruds, the demigods known as Maruds. So Vishwamitra concluded this city, Vishala, is where Diti performed her austerities. So King Sumati was in charge of the city, and he came out and he received the whole battalion of rishis. And then after that, they continued their journey again. They were on the outskirts of Mithila. So Lord Rama saw a desolate ashrama, hermitage. So when he inquired about it from Vishwamitra, Vishwamitra said, this ashrama belongs to Gautama Rishi. So Gautama Rishi and his wife Ahalya performed great austerities there. And once Indra assumed the form that closely resembled the Rishi, and he wanted a union with Gautama's wife Ahalya. So, you know, Ahalya was confused at that time. But when everything was over and Indra was about to leave, Gautama Rishi came there and he could immediately understand what had happened. So he cursed Ahalya that, oh, wretched woman, from now on you shall be incapable of eating or drinking and you will have to lie down on a bed of ashes. So Ahalya was then turned into a pillar of stone, and the Rishi also cursed Indra to lose his manhood. So then Gautama Rishi, then immediately Ahalya fell at his feet, and Gautama Rishi said that when Lord Rama visits this spot, you will be absolved of your sin and you will be reunited with me as your husband. So saying that, Gautama Rishi departed for Himalayas. So Vishwamitra then invited Lord Rama. This is Gautama Rishi's ashrama, and it was so desolate. When Lord Rama entered the hermitage, immediately at the touch of his lotus feet on the dust of the ashrama, Ahalya regained her original form, dazzling with ascetic splendor. So immediately he welcomed the two brothers and Vishwamitra. Rama and Lakshmana respectfully touched Ahalya's feet. And then Gautama Rishi also came, and Gautama Rishi was reunited with Ahalya. And then they started again, the caravan again started to Mithila. So when Mithila was ruled by King Janaka, and he invited the rishis, and he said that this yajna that will take 12 days to complete, and he is saying that he is asking, who are the two exalted personalities that have accompanied you? So Vishwamitra replied that these two are young men, Rama and Lakshmana. They are sons of King Dasharatha. And then, you know, I took them to my ashrama to kill Maricha and Subahu. They killed Tataka also. And then we are traveling here, and then we came here to see your wonderful bow. So then Gautama Rishi's son, Shatananda Rishi, was there. So he was so happy to hear that how his mother was relieved from the curse. And he started telling the story of Vishwamitra again. So we stopped at one point where when Vishwamitra himself told about him, he said that how he was born to King Gadi. So once he's a Kshatriya, so he came with all his army to the forest, and at that time he came to the hermitage of Vashishta, and Vashishta had a Kamadenu cow that was named Shabala. that cow would produce unlimited varieties of food and drink, all arranged in sparkling silver plates. And Vishwamitra and his men feasted to their full satisfaction. But however, Vishwamitra started feeling envious to Vasishtha and he said, I need to have the cow. Vasishtha said that you can have anything else but the cow. I want the cow. The cow has been supplying milk and with that all the things that is needed for the yajna. But the Vishwamitra replied that the cow basically belongs to me because I am the king. So there ensued an argument and Vishwamitra started forcibly taking Kamadhenu. Kamadhenu started crying. But Kamadhenu started crying to Vasishtha, telling, please protect me. But Vasishtha said that I am a rishi and my power is not equal to the king, so I am helpless to rescue you. So immediately Kamadhenu said that please give me your permission to create innumerable warriors. So immediately from Kamadhenu's body came hundreds and thousands and millions of warriors. And at one point of time, Vishwamitra lost all the warriors, the army, and also his 100 sons. So he understood that how the power of the rishi is more than the king. So he went to perform tapasya and he wanted to become a king. He wanted to become a rishi. So after performing tapasya, Lord Shiva became satisfied by his austerities and gave him weapons, and immediately he took the weapons and came, and there was a terrible fight between him and Vasishtha. So finally Vishwamitra invoked the terrible Brahmastra. We know that, you know, we have heard many instances about Brahmastra, but what did Vasishtha do? He countered it by assuming an awesome form of gigantic proportions, and with flames blazing forth from every pore of his body, he neutralized the energy of the Brahmastra. Again, Vishwamitra was defeated. So he decided that I just don't want to become a Raja Rishi, but I want to become a Brahma Rishi. So he did penances for 1,000 years. So during this time, there was this king in the line of Ikshvaku named Trishanku. And what Trishanku says, Trishanku's desire is to go to heaven in the same bodily form. But we know that it's not possible for us to travel to the other planets with the same body, but Trishanku insisted, and Vasishtha and Vasishtha's son said that we cannot do it. But then Vishwamitra said, I can do it, and he used all his acquired ascetic merits to send Trishanku to heavenly planets. When Trishanku is coming up, Indra is looking, what is this? Who is coming here? So immediately, he pushes him down from there. And Vishwamitra Muni pushes him up from here. So Trishanku is like a football between both of them. And finally, Vishwamitra made a swarga, a heavenly planet itself for the sake of Trishanku. And it is said that Trishanku is still hanging upside down in this planet, which is in between. And then, you know, demigods, he struck a truce with demigods, and then they accepted that as a part of the planet. So then after this, again, all the acquired ascetic merits of Vishwamitra was gone. So again he started performing austerities, and devas, they were very afraid. Now what's going to happen? Already we cannot have, you know, it was hard to handle one Trishanku, so they sent Menaka. So, you know, Menaka was successful in making Vishwamitra come out of his tapasya, and they spent 10 years. And after that Vishwamitra dismissed the fearful Menaka, and then he said, what did I do? I wasted my time, and this is a trick by the demigod, but I am not going to give up. I am again going to resume my austerities. Again they resumed, he resumed his austerities, and this time the demigods again, Indra requested Ramba. Ramba said, no, I am not going because I am scared of the curse. But he said, don't worry, I will be there and Cupid also will be there. We will help you and do not be afraid and you will be successful. So Ramba finally agreed when he came. When she came, at first, you know, Vishwamitra was pleased to see her, but then he knew behind Ramba, again, this is a trick by the demigods again. So, flaring with anger, Vishwamitra roared, "You foolish woman, you knew I was performing austerities for the purpose of controlling my senses. Still, you dare to persist trying to seduce me. For this, you will have to stand as a stone statue for 10,000 years or until the Rishi Vashishta delivers you." So, this was the curse of Ramba. So, first time Vishwamitra lost, again, because of cursing, due to anger, he lost his merit. Then he said, he vowed to never become angry. "I will not breathe, utter a word, or even a morsel of food or drink until I achieve the status of Brahma Rishi." So then again, after fasting for 1,000 years, when he wanted to break a fast, Indra is coming in the guise of a Brahmana, asking, begging him for all the food. So he gave all the food. So again he started started his austerities again. So it started heating up the entire universe, and all the demigods went to Brahma and said that, you know, please award him the status of Brahma Rishi. So when Brahma came and awarded him the status of Brahma Rishi, Vishwamitra said that it is not enough that if you say that I am Brahma Rishi, Vashishtha has to tell. So Vashishtha came again and agreed that he is a Brahma Rishi, and they both were friends again. Then and it is said that, you know what, in turn Vishwamitra also offered great respect to Vashishtha. Their long standing enmity was soon forgotten and they became friends. So this is the quality of the sages. So Gautama Rishi's son Shatananda tells the history of Vishwamitra Rishi. Then Vishwamitra says that Rama and Lakshmana have come here because they are eager to see how the wonderful bow you keep and you worship for so long. So Maharaja Janaka, then he started explaining the history of that bow. So this bow was used by Lord Shiva to disrupt the sacrifice of his father-in-law Daksha. We know that Daksha Yajna we read in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So being denied the sacrificial share, Lord Shiva angrily picked up this bow and threatened to annihilate the demigods. Coming to their senses, the demigods were able to pacify Lord Shiva. In turn, he handed over his bow to them. The demigods later entrusted that bow to Devavrata, the descendant of Maharaja Nini, my forefather. So it is Lord Shiva's bow. Through the demigods, it has come to Maharaja Janaka. So once upon a time, then first he describes the history of bow. Then he describes when he went to plow the sacrificial arena, he found a baby girl. "I named her Sita and raised her as my own daughter. Sita quickly grew up, and it is said that once when Sita was playing a ball with her friends, the ball went and stuck on top of the tree. And Sita was looking around for a stick to take the ball, and she found this bow there. So she immediately took it and then took the ball. Basically, the bow can be lifted only by, I think, at least 500 men. So Janaka Maharaj is telling that, I decided that if someone has to marry Sita, they should at least lift this bow and hold it, if not bending it and shrinking it. Since Rama is eager to see the bow of Lord Shiva, I'll bring it before him to examine. So 500 strong men pulled the immense bow, which was encased in a chest and mounted on a cart with 8 wheels. So then Vishwamitra invited Rama to open the chest while thousands of people gathered to watch. So it is said that Janaka Maharaj just asked Rama to see the bow, but Rama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only saw the bow, he understood, you know, what to be done. So immediately, effortlessly lifted the bow out of its case, holding the bow aloft, Rama strung the bow in an instant and bending it with a great force, snapped it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugarcane. The thunderous cracking sound produced was like a mountain bursting apart and caused all but Vishwamitra, Janaka, Rama and Lakshmana to fall to the ground. So then with great pleasure, Maharaj Janaka requested Vishwamitra to send messengers to Ayodhya. Then, Dasharatha was overjoyed hearing the marriage. And then Janaka here tells a very nice sloka. So here he says, idam sita mama suta. Iyam sita mama suta sahadharmachari tava. So it is said that Janaka was a disciple of Yajnavalkya, and Janaka was a king. Yajnavalkya had many Brahmin disciples, Rishi disciples, and they were wondering how Janaka is superior to all of them. So Yajnavalkya, by his mystic power, created that the Janaka's palace was on fire. It was like a, by his mystic power, he created an illusion. While seeing his palace on fire, Janaka sat without being disturbed. That means he had no I and mine. Aham and Mameti is not that. But such Janaka is telling here that here is my daughter Sita, and she will be a Saha Dharmachari. She will be with you in all the duties that you have to do. Best wishes to you. I give her hand to you in your palms. So, you know, such is the glories of Mother Sita. And this is what they say. So then Janaka had another daughter, Urmila. Urmila was married to Lakshmana. And Janaka's brothers, Kushadwaja's two daughters, were married to Bharata and Shatrughna. So then Dasharatha came, bringing all the three brothers, and there was a wonderful marriage ceremony. We see that, you know, Sita Ram Kalyana Mahotsava is still taking place in many, many, many temples all around the world. Every day it's such a beautiful, event that was supposed to bring about all auspiciousness. Then, when they were going back, there were ill omens. But the rishis understood that the ill omens means something bad is going to come, but it's going to be taken care of. So what was that? So hearing the sound of the bow being broken, Lord Parshuram came. So he said that, you have certainly performed a heroic feat by breaking the bow of Lord Shiva. However, I am carrying even a greater bow, that of Lord Vishnu. If you consider yourself a great hero, then take this bow and string it. If you are able to draw the arrow back to its full length, then I consider you a fit person to fight with. Because Parashurama, we know that he incarnated and he killed the Kshatriyas 21 times to rid the earth of unqualified Kshatriyas. So he wanted to make sure whether, you know, this Kshatriya is a real qualified or, you know, he's one of the unqualified Kshatriyas. So Dasharatha immediately pleaded, you know, please stop, please desist from your aggressive spirit and please give up this fighting. But then Parashurama ignored and he addressed Lord Shiva and he said, what is the history of the bow that he has? So one day, after Lord Shiva killed the demon, the demigods went to Lord Brahma and curiously inquired, who is more powerful, Lord Shiva or Lord Vishnu? To resolve their doubt, Lord Brahma arranged to create some conflict between the two. As a result, a fierce battle ensued. During the fight, Lord Vishnu cut off Lord Shiva's bowstring and then simply by releasing a tumultuous roar, he stunned Lord Shiva's senses. At the behest of the demigods, the fighting was then stopped. Everyone who witnessed the duel concluded that Lord Vishnu is superior to Lord Shiva in all respects. So Lord Shiva then gave away his bow to the great sage Richika. Lord Shiva gave away his bow to Devavrata. And then Vishnu gave away his bow to the great sage Richika, who gave it to Jamadagni. And then using that bow, Parashurama performed this wonderful feat of killing the of course with his axe and also the bow for fighting. So as soon as he told that, Rama accepted Parshurama's challenge, and he took the bow and arrow from his hands and then effortlessly strung the bow and then placed the arrow in that. So then Parshurama understood that, then Rama said, because you are a Brahmana and related to Vishwamitra, I shall not slay you. However, so that my taking up this arrow may not go in vain and your challenge may be properly answered, I will use it to destroy the attainment of heaven which you earned as a result of your penances, his punya. So he said, then Vishwamitra requested that he please allow me to return to Mount Mandara so that I can continue my austerities, because he was anyway ordered to stay on earth by Kashyapa for a long time. Then he says that you are none other than Lord Vishnu himself, so I am not ashamed at having met defeat at your hands. So Rama then presented the bow of Lord Vishnu to Varuna, and the party thus continued on its way. So upon returning home, the four sons of Maharaja Dasharatha began living very happily with their wives. So that they lived 12 years like this. That's what is mentioned there. And Yudhajit, the maternal uncle of Bharata, he took Bharata and Shatrughna to his kingdom to spend some time with them. And that's how ends the Balakanda. Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki jai. Vitarasi dikshurane dipati kamaniyam dashamukha bauli malim ramaniyam keshavadrita ramasharira jaya jagadisha hare Jai Jagadisha Hare, Jai Jagadisha Hare. Please forgive me for my faults. There are hundreds and thousands of them, no doubt. Although I am not qualified at all to present this great literature filled with rishis and munis and their histories, it's so purifying to me to read this myself. I would like to stop here, and if there are any questions, I don't know if I can answer it. I can try. Otherwise, we have many stalwart devotees in the call. They can also try answering. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Lalitangi Mataji. Jai. Very, very nice. Thank you so much for detailing each and every story, all these little stories in the Balakanda which we tend to overlook. And we just, you know, run through the mainstream story. Usually, at least that's what I do. But thank you so much for getting into the details of each of these little stories that was told by Mitra to Ramachandra. Such a beautiful narration it was. Thank you so much. It was Navavivida Katha. That's how, you know, it's been described in the Raghuvirya Gadhyam. It says Navavivida Katha. So the same story appears to be newer and beautiful every time it is narrated. So that is how it felt as you were narrating it and telling us the story. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. I owe, you know, completely all this to you. If not for you spent 2 hours with me, giving me your notes, explaining, you know, what the sweet story is yourself, and I just... try to repeat what I heard from you, and I'm really grateful for this opportunity. Thank you so much.
You, Mataji.
Okay.
Krishna Mataji, Dhanot Pranam, very, very nice class, Mataji. So many stories.
Yeah, it's filled with unlimited stories, you know. We cannot leave any, even one of them. They have so much for us to learn.
Mataji, Hare Krishna, Mataji, it's a wonderful, wonderful narration, Mataji. So beautiful. Mataji, I have a question that maybe I was missing something. Sagara has the grandson is Amshuman, and where does Dilipa fit in, Mataji? Maybe I missed it.
Sagara's son is
Like there are 50,000 sons and they got into ashes, right? And then there is another son, Aruja, forgot the name, but he was not so good, and his son was Amshuman. And then Dilipa came, and his son was I didn't get the
Amshuman
connection.
Amshuman tried to get Ganga Devi down, but he couldn't. After that, I think Dilipa came. Dilipa also couldn't. Then Dilipa's son is Bhagiratha.
So who is Dilipa, Mataji? Dilipa is Sagara's son or Amshuman's son?
No, Amshuman's son.
Amshuman's son. Okay, Mataji, got it. Okay, thank you, Mataji. Mataji, it's so wonderful, Mataji. So wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Ramayana is so wonderful, and thanks to His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Maharaj for giving us in such a form. We are very, very dedicated. We don't know how much we owe these great spiritual masters, disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Whatever I'm repeating is from his book Ramayana, and also from, of course, Preeti Vilasini Mataji's notes.
Thank you so much, Mataji. So wonderful. Thank you, Sister Priti Vilasini Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for a wonderful and Nectarian class, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Thank you, Lavanya, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. A lot of things that you talked about, and definitely it was very hard for you to complete it in the short span of time. So many things you brought in this 1 hour, Mataji. The first one where you talked about Putana, and in contrast with Rama, where we have to think about that realization as if to cut our material desires. And likewise, you just went on with Akalya and others, Mataji. So nice, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. All glories to all the devotees who helped me and our spiritual masters, and all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, anybody has any questions or any realizations you want to share? We can imagine, you know, in the previous time, this is what they used to do, that sit in the evening and simply discuss Ramayana and Mahabharata over and over and over again. So it is definitely more interesting than any, you know, adventurous or thrilling movie. And at the same time, it's giving us complete liberation from the pangs of material miseries. Okay, so Preeti Vilasini Mataji, we can end the call.
Yes, thank you so much, Mataji. Perfect timing as well. And I hope we are able to cope up with the time like you. Prana wants to say something.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lalitangi Mataji. We were listening to it from and watching you on screen, so it was beautiful, Mataji. So many stories together and how you covered it in such a short time. Thank you so much for going through all of
it. It's all because of the rigorous training of Preeti Vilasini Mataji. I'm not good at time at all, but she told me, you know, you have to be, and you know, she almost told me how I should do. So I'm grateful to her. All glories to her, Mataji.
All glories to both of you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay. So, thank you all very much.
Thank you, Mataji. Yeah. I think someone else unmuted, but sorry, I just, you know.
Oh, okay. Who's that?
Maybe they can unmute themselves. They got muted, I think, because of the echo. But I don't know if they can unmute them anymore. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for the beautiful narration. It's like you gave all the details.
Can you hear me?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji, yeah. You can hear me?
Yes, Mataji. I can hear.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. All by devotees' blessings. Yeah, something nice to do.
My little kids, 4-year-old Shreya and Srihari, they were also listening, and then as you were telling each name, they were also asking.
So I was telling, let me listen,
and then I will tell you all the stories. So thank you so much, Mataji. And then you told the entire Balakanda in a matter of 1 hour with so much detail. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. These children are...
That was good.
Oh, so sweet of you. Thank you. So, you know, these children are our futures, and, you know, they have to broadcast this message of Ramayana and Mahabharata. And, of course, it was Prabhupada's desire also that Bhagavad Gita, Hollywood should make a movie on Bhagavad Gita. And we hope that these children will play a major role in, you know, making a movie of this Ramayana and Mahabharata. Yeah, thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, can you hear me?
Yeah, yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Vinita, yeah. Mataji.
I'm to unmute myself, it was not coming. It's such a beautiful Mataji. Thank you so much for coming on the live. It was so convenient to see you and here at the same time. So beautiful, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for engaging me in this service. All of you are doing mountain of service. It's like I'm like a squirrel and you're all like Hanuman serving Lord Ramachandra. So thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you, Mataji, for the wonderful class. There's so many stories. Like, I never realized that there may be so many stories in this. And you tried to emphasize on each thing without even any rush. And it was really nice to hear you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. I just, you know, read from part of the books because that original words that has a potency, and, you know, some I tried. I didn't do justice, but still, yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
Okay. Mataji, I would like to know the name of... Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji.
Which is the book that you said you refer to, Mataji?
The Ramayana and the story of Lord Rama. This is by Bhakti Vikas Swami.
Okay, Mataji. Yeah, thank you so much.
You can Google it. It's a very, very interesting book. Thanks to Maharaj. You know, Preeti Vilasni Mataji took the things from the original Valmiki Ramayana, and she was also telling that it is as it is in here. Maharaj did such a great job condensing everything into English and giving it in a very readable and enjoyable form.
That's so nice, Mataji. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji.
Every time that we read or take up Prabhupada's books or books by Prabhupada's disciples, like, we have it all in hand. It's only that we have to take the time to read them out.
Yeah, yes, Mataji, that's true, yeah. And also, like, this group reading, and it helps a lot when we are in a group and we read.
Yeah, Mataji, thank you to your services that we are able to listen to it. Thank you so
thank
much,
you. Thank you, Mataji. My Vaishnava's blessings, yeah, everything is possible. Okay, Mataji. Yeah. We let the call, Mataji.
Yes. Vansha Kalpata Rodasya Kripa Sandhavya Parivana. श्रीमद् वाल्मीकि रामायणं की जय हर ग्रेस ललितांगी राधा माताजी की जय